Hello, friends, and welcome back to the She Shed. This is actually the back to school episode. I know what you're thinking. Back to school? It's almost November. It's almost Halloween. Honey, this is teachers from the soul. Let me tell you why, because we have been exhausted since August. We have been emotionally drained since September. We have been putting in grades and grading things and doing paperwork and going to meetings and getting to know kids and answering emails since August and on into October. So I already knew none of my teacher friends were going to have time to record a nothing in between everything that they had to get done and, frankly, the protests that were happening over going back to school. So a lot has happened. We have a lot to talk about. I'm excited to get back with my friends in the She Shed and welcome on back to the back to school episode. Oh, yeah. And if you didn't know that I'm Southern, you're going to hear it when I say school. So welcome back to school. So the question is, how has COVID affected back to school for you? And that's the question I've put to everyone. For me, it's really sucked, but I won't talk about me. I want to talk to my friends first. So take it over, guys.
It's been really interesting in my classroom. I feel like the school has done everything that it can do, but even that's not going to be enough to do anything to stop the outbreaks, to make me feel safe. And it's really a breakdown of the state and federal governments that aren't supporting their teachers. It's just, it's wildness. And if the governor wants, what, 20% of infections before he decides maybe in closing down a school, like for our school, that's 1,600 students. It's 320 students need to get it before the governor considers breaking the regular service and going remote.
That's a lot of kids. That's a lot of kids sick when you think about it.
It's past a minute. You can probably get this out, right?
No,
you can
keep
edit
going.
It.
Yeah, keep going.
So I've been socially distanced. I've been wearing my mask, making my students do it too. And they've been pretty good for the most part, but it's all just mitigation measures.
Yeah.
It's nothing that makes me feel like we're going to be A-okay moving forward. But to be fair, I enjoyed seeing my students and doing my job and being there. So it's a real interesting conundrum that I feel.
It's a sense of normalcy, isn't it? Like, I almost felt guilty enjoying going back to school as much as I, like, bitched and moaned and whined and complained about it. Like, once I got into the routine, I was like, ooh, it feels good to have something normal to do. But at the same time, I get a little frightened when it feels too normal.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. How has it affected, like, how you feel as far as your value toward the school district, like their view of you and your view of them and your job in general? Has it changed at all?
Teaching has always been an abusive relationship in Florida.
Oh my God, stop it. I have a whole segment that I did about my 20-year abusive relationship that I've been in, and that's when I cried. Oh, I'm serious.
And it's...
because it is. It's an abusive relationship.
It is.
Oh, my goodness.
And I need, you know, Big Daddy School Board to give me money so I can afford my things. So I'm willing to go back and receive all
the... how many students per class?
Stop it right now. Okay, when I moved down here, I was shocked to find out that special education teachers had the same student-teacher ratio that everybody else did, which is about 22 to 25. And that's... stupid. Like, some of the classes that we had, the max was 6, 9, and my class was 11. And I was maxed out at 11, and then one year they built a new high school. That was just how much money there was in Atlanta before the housing bust. That they built a brand new high school. They took half of my students. So I ended up with, like, legit 4 kids and 2 parapros. Everybody learned to read in life skills that year.
Yeah.
Everybody learned to ride MARTA.
Look at that.
Like, whatever it was that they needed to learn, doggone it, I was able to...
You mean if you give teachers resources, they can do their jobs?
Oh, yeah, we could, but it's so much more fun for me to put that money into my brother-in-law's pocket through some sort of nepotism and tell the teachers to figure it out. Because you're doing it for the children.
Exactly.
Do it for the children.
Always for the children.
Just for the children. You don't need anything. You don't need any money, do you? What you need money for?
We don't
for?
Need
what
happy teachers. We need happy children.
Yeah.
Oh, the children are not happy, though. That's the problem. But, you know, I feel like the educational system isn't meeting the kids' needs right now. We're not teaching them what they need. Like, I would really like to scrap all of the curriculum, which would make certain people clutch their pearls and be like, burn her certificate.
And that's not necessarily even a COVID problem, because COVID didn't create any new problems for education. It just exacerbated the ones that already existed.
Oh, yeah.
It added exclamation points.
It exposed the cracks in the foundation.
Oh, absolutely.
Of the educational system is what it did, because now the parents who used to be able to pawn it off on us, they're going, oh my God, yeah. I didn't realize. You know, I had a pair of parents on my ass at the beginning of the year, and they were like, my sons didn't get this and they didn't get that, and I don't understand. And they haven't done anything because they don't understand. Man, I set up such a system. I installed Boomerang for Gmail where it would bounce back emails to them every week. So every week I'd send an email to their individual students, teachers, and I'd be like, what did these children do this week? And how did you accommodate that? And what do they need to do next? And it started out great, and the parents were like, yeah, we're on it. By that third, fourth, fifth week, I haven't heard from them anymore, and the teachers are like, well, these children haven't showed up to classes, well, they haven't turned in anything. And back when the parents were like, you're not doing your job, and now their kids are at home, I'm like, pardon me, I've done my job, why are your children still failing?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be adversarial with parents, but I'm just so sick of being
the bad guy. And like the end of last semester, the spring semester that COVID hit, the problem was that people didn't change their expectations because nothing was going to be the way it was.
No.
And there, you even see that now in this new semester in the fall, of many teachers and parents and administrators and students not even changing their expectations because they've decided to neglect the grieving process of the end of what we knew as normal.
Yep.
For this new normal. And the fact that the governor hasn't, and Richard Corcoran, haven't decided to end state testing for this school year as well, is just a slap in the face.
It really, really
because
is.
That is forcing us to have our previous expectations thrust upon this year. It forces us to have evaluations from our administrators. It forces us to think about test scores rather than the mental health of our students, than the mental health of our teachers, the mental health of our administrators.
Stop it right now. I'm going to stop this segment because I do want to talk about mental health of everybody. Tell me about your dreams.
So I wanted to be a teacher for a long time. I think at one point I wanted to be an architect back as a freshman in high school. And before that, I wanted to be a priest, which is really weird coming from me, this avowed atheist. But I do enjoy the persuasion and positive elements of religion, and I studied it in college. But ever since meeting my band directors, Mr. Castles and Mr. Ball, I wanted to be a teacher, and particularly I wanted to study music and do music education and be that guy, crazy guy, waving his hands in front of a whole bunch of students, making them make beautiful music. Mr. Holland's Opus was my favorite movie for some time. But then I got to Florida State and realized that the School of Music was way too intense for me, and I got scared. So I dropped out of the School of Music, and I started studying social studies education, realized that I couldn't remember any dates for the life of me, and that I can't coach anything. And then, on a whim, I followed my buddy to English education and fell in love with that. So that's how I became an English teacher. And it really is lovely being with the students and doing the teaching part. Now, the bureaucratic bullshit is not part of the dream, but I understand it's the reality of being a teacher. And again, it's the abusive relationship of Florida and its teachers. So, like, I don't know if it's better elsewhere because I haven't experienced it elsewhere. So maybe it's better for teachers. I do know that Florida is, like, on the bottom when it comes to spending and in the middle when it comes to outcomes. So we really squeeze our teachers dry for the outcomes we get for our students here.
Oh, my God. That's why I burned out last year. Like, I literally am suffering from burnout syndrome right now. Like, my doctors have said no more. My therapist said no more. My medical doctor said no more. They're like, find something else to do.
What else is there to do?
We kind of
pigeonholed ourselves with our degrees, too.
Oh, my goodness.
And I've thought about that. If I were to do anything, I would go into a nonprofit work or maybe law. But that requires an entirely new degree and more sacrifice and more time and more money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I feel a dream defer, not the dream, because I am helping people. I am doing what I love. So that part of my dream is being fulfilled. And that's really my dream. Like, teaching is part of helping people in my mind.
Yeah.
So I do feel good about that.
So I guess, you know, that's where I am as far as it all is concerned. I'm at a crossroads. I'm looking at universities. I'm looking at PhD programs. And I don't know what I want to do next. And I thought about all sorts of things, but he's telling on us. I mean...
This crow is talking to Rick, or not Rick, Ron DeSantis. Look at these teachers, you know, talking about you behind your back.
You know what? Doggone it. He does not, crows don't keep any secrets, and they know what's up. Oh, and listen to that one laughing.
These teachers talking about dreams.
Yeah.
Ah, your dreams. You make plans.
That's my Kenneth Copeland laugh.
But no, seriously. So I'm at this crossroads, and I'm there with, should I go back to law school? Should I? No? Okay.
What does the crow say?
What does the crow say?
He's done.
But, you know, what should it be? But of the people who know me here, any ideas? I'm taking all suggestions. What should I be when I grow up?
Talked about buying that franchise and selling ice cream.
Yes.
Jeremiah's.
Get an ice cream truck.
Yes.
Not bad. You know.
I'd be so happy selling ice cream to people, except I don't want them to get close to me now because of the pandemic.
Right?
Dang.
Yeah.
Now I could deliver some things. Like, we could do some Meals on Wheels type deals. Like...
So, still helping people.
Still helping people.
Yep, nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you get into education, Niches? What's your journey?
Not that exciting. I wanted to be a nurse and help people that way, and then I was diagnosed with a neurological disorder. So, I was always really good at helping people with math. So I felt comfortable being a math teacher. Nice. So.
Cool. Yeah.
So how has COVID impacted you as far as, you know, as far as everything? And then in specific, as far as teaching is concerned?
Well, when Tom comes home at the end of the day, I always ask him, you know, how was your day? How were the kids? Because it really only takes, like, a kid having a bad day, doesn't want to put a mask on, or, you know, wants to be a jerk and cough on someone.
Yep.
So I spend a lot of time being scared that Tom's going to bring COVID home.
Yeah.
And part of that burnout is that this year I've downsized a lot. I'm not doing trivia right now, although I would like to get back to it eventually, but not until the pandemic's behind us.
Yeah.
I'm no longer in grad school, but I am taking that gifted endorsement through the state, but it's very easy.
Says the gifted kid.
Right. Not gifted. We had a Mensa thing for one of our things this week. I took the Mensa test. I am not gifted.
What?
No.
What? I don't believe it.
Just a hard worker.
You know, that's the difference between a white belt and a black belt is hard work, is what I've heard tell, right?
But, like, I've downsized a lot, and I don't like using the term bad teacher, but I'm not able to teach the way that I want to teach this year.
Yeah.
So I'm behind my desk, sitting down all day, much more sedentary than I usually am. I would previously get over 10,000 steps a day in the classroom. Now I'm down about 5,000. Uh-huh. But I'm staying away from the kids because I don't want it. I'm not going to bring it home.
No.
But I also made my website on Schoology really accessible, down to day-by-day, step-by-step instructions, so I don't have to be there physically for my kid if I can be there digitally.
You know, and that does not sound like a bad teacher. You say bad teacher, but that's not the mark of a bad teacher, someone who's finding a way around things. It's just not, but... I think I'm listening to you, and Niches, I'm hearing you say, you know, I'm worried about Tom bringing this home, and Tom is saying, I don't want to bring this home. I'm asthmatic, and so I talked to my specialist right before going back to school, and I had some very pointed, very specific mm-hmm. questions, like, my school district is telling me I have no choice, and yeah. I have to go back to school. You know, what are my options? And so I started, like, the super intense round of inhaled steroids, you know, that I take every dang day. And I was able to wean myself off of them years ago, but I'm back on them just in case. You know, just in case. And so...
But that's not good for your body.
It's, but no. neither but it's is COVID. Than, yeah. yeah, this is, yeah. Neither is COVID with, yeah. you know, with... The risks that I have, you know, I've lost, gosh, I don't know, maybe 70 pounds in the past couple of years. And I don't like the story of she got really healthy, then she, you know, caught COVID and was incapacitated. It's just, you know, that's not cool.
Yeah.
That's not a cool no. story. So I'm doing everything I can to stay healthy. But, you know.
But with a foreign pathogen like COVID, it doesn't matter how healthy you are, it could ravage your system if you're absolutely. One of the unlucky 2%.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I know how I feel about what the school district said to us. How do you guys feel about the choices that you were given or lack thereof and the school district's attitude toward you as
a teacher?
And
even our head honcho coming in that pre-planning day saying, you guys are on the front lines, and the governor making it a metaphor with the soldiers at D-Day. That's this toxic heroism of teachers.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I like that phrase.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because you're supposed to give and give and give and give and give and never refill.
And is the governor's mansion open yet to public viewings?
Oh, God, I should hope so.
I don't think so.
If we've been back in school since August. And now there is a spike in the numbers at our school because somebody had a Halloween party, I believe. So our classrooms are a little bit more empty, but the health department, God bless them, I don't think they're able to keep up with the contact tracing because we had a set of twins in our school and, you know, they had to be quarantined and, well, one of them did, the other one didn't, according to the health department. I don't know how you figured that out, but.
Make sure it's still recording.
I don't know.
And even the contact tracing, I had a kid who was supposed to be on quarantine on Wednesday. I saw him on Thursday, then he was out on Friday. And I was like, why were you here on Thursday, bro?
I wanted to come and get my things. I came for my things. Or to see my friends. It's my girlfriend's birthday. I couldn't miss that. I mean, the kids really don't, and their brains aren't fully developed to the point that they can understand the consequences of some of the things they're doing. You know,
and
some...
then let's go up the top of the food chain, too. If you have messaging from the President of the United States that is making light of this pandemic.
And making fun of people for wearing masks.
Of course, people will take that in and make the pandemic less than it is.
That's true. And it's really hard because you don't see corpses being carted off down the street.
Yeah, it's the salience fallacy.
Yeah.
Those 250,000 people who have died in hospitals. Those who are being quarantined or those who are being good faith actors about the pandemic aren't going out, aren't spending time not socially distanced.
Mm-hmm.
So those who are going out are seeing all these other bad faith actors mm-hmm. doing these bad faith things, but not seeing the serious consequences because everyone who's affected by it is away.
Yes. Yeah. So it's just a normal day. And that's kind of what we've been getting. Oh, it's just a normal day. Go out in the sunshine and help your immune system. I have an autoimmune disorder. Don't know what that means to you.
And that phrase was put out by one of our top officials in the school district.
Oh, absolutely. And
go outside some more.
Go outside some more and, you know, think lovely thoughts. And I get where you could say that, but that's also really, really callous, cruel, and unfair. But that from someone who also was in some trouble for, I believe, racist memes or some
and
such.
And vaccine denial.
And vaccine denial. So, I
oh,
mean,
that
you know.
That person, yes.
Once you get to that point, you're just so far gone. Oh my gosh, did you see the new Borat movie?
Not yet. I've seen the Rudy Giuliani stuff.
Oh my goodness. But the Borat's new movie has a real focus on feminism and the women who are like, no, I want to be in a golden cage. Put me in this golden cage and you can suppress me and everybody else and I'm just fine with that. Those are the people. They know. Deep down, they know. They know that their president's a liar. They know, because, you know...
But as long as his lies affect other people and not me, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, hasn't that always been the way? I mean, every ism that you can imagine, if you're talking racism or sexism or any of those things, it's all down to economics. And they're like, please don't take away my money. What's your takeaway from this year? How are you coping right now? And what's your hope for 2021?
I hope that we have a federal government that takes this seriously, that it trickles down to state governments, but I don't trust DeSantis and any other state official except for, Nikki Fried, who's the only elected Democrat in state office right now, or wow. At the, you know, Capitol.
Yeah.
They're their representatives and senators. But I'm hoping that with a focus on science, we can actually understand how this pandemic affects different industries, especially education. And hopefully some of the good aspects of flexibility that we've been forced to build the plane as it flies these past couple of semesters, so to speak, are able to stick. We know that we're more flexible now. It just by overtaxing the system, we've gained flexibility. And my deep and sincere hope is that that doesn't come back and bite us in the butt, which it possibly and probably will, because let's face it, this is Florida. And with Richard Corcoran as the head honcho for education, who has a vested interest in private education, whose wife is financially tied to private and for-profit schools, my hopes are really kind of squandered. But I do hope that the public districts are able to build their capacity for flexibility to help out teachers and students. And I understand that putting students first is a great aphorism, but really, without happy teachers, without resource-laden teachers, you're not going to have happy students.
Heck no, because misery loves company.
Yep.
And nobody is more petty than a miserable, miserable teacher.
And teachers need to be student first, but administrators need to be teacher first in order Absolutely. For teachers to be student first.
So it sounds like education's in your future. Education's with you. How many years do you have in?
This is my 11th year.
This is my 20th year. What should I be when I grow up?
I would be a teacher at your school. Were you principal or CEO? All if right. you wanted to go private or charter.
You already know.
But I'd also not teach. I would practice law at your practice as well.
Okay.
Were you to go law school? I'd open up. I'd be a investor in Kim's ice cream, Kim and Jason's ice cream business.
Our vegan ice cream and pizza parlor.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm an Italian. I'm not sure I can go for vegan pizza.
Oh my goodness. You said.
I've been really frustrated online with some of my more moderate liberal and leftist friends who are calling for unity between Republicans and Democrats, or at least not Republicans and Democrats, but Trumpists and yeah. Democrats, which I think are an entirely different breed from Republicans. I think conservatism can be fine as long as it helps out others. But this Trumpism even though Trump was voted out, Trumpism is still here to stay for a little while. And the way to address Trumpism isn't to reach out to the Trumpists. It's to reach out to those who have been hurt by the Trumpists. That's how you're going to heal as a nation. That's how you're going to unify as a nation. You don't put a hand out to the abusers. You put a hand up to those who have been abused. It's the only way we're going to find healing, the only way to change the system. And when Donald Trump was elected, you didn't see anybody on the Trump side reaching out to Democrats trying to say, hey, how are your feelings? It was, he's your president now, get over it.
Yep. Let's make the liberals cry again.
Yeah. That seems to be the unifying factor in Trumpism is that it F's libs in the A.
Yeah.
And
libertards, right?
Yeah.
I've heard that far too many times.
So you know what? The best thing you can do with a troll is ignore it. So let's ignore our trolls and see what we can't do to
put them back under the bridge.
Build communities. Build communities that are inclusive, and they can come and be a part of it if they want to, but there are consequences to our actions, and we're not going to stand for...
there are some people in positions of power who are scared that the inclusion of diversity and the increasing diversity of our nation and society is going to marginalize Westernisms and Western values, which is just hilarious.
Well, the Western values are oppressing those people,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, that's so okay. That's... Maybe we can change a few things.
We're going to change a few things. We're going to, we're just going to change the system a little bit.
Can we just change the name of the Redskins and then...
Well, now they're the Washington football team.
Well, there you go.
There you go. So
maybe we can
little
get
steps.
Giving them an actual name and then baby step it away from...
Baby steps. Hey,
like
change the system. You don't have to change your ideals for me. Just understand that... We, the underprivileged and the underserved, are demanding a seat at the table as well. So,
and it goes back beyond Martin Luther King Jr., but him and John Lewis have said that patience is a dirty word.
It is.
How do you tell somebody who's been oppressed for so long to be patient in a system that is changing slowly?
Mm-hmm. Homework for the week is to read some of Martin Luther King's later speeches, and let's figure out what we can do to... lift up others as we're going along.
And this... I didn't realize that the speech you sent me a few months ago was read and delivered 3 days before he was assassinated.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
3 days.
Yes, sir. So I, So I'm going to read some more. I'm going to reach out to some mentors this week and let's think about where we can put our focus. Right now, I'd like for our focus to be on Georgia, getting out the vote in Georgia.
Yes.
So as the Trumpers say, no more BS. That's right. No more BS.
Yeah.
Let's have no more BS.
Yep.
So whatever we can do to get the vote out in Georgia is the plan for the next few weeks coming up.
I've donated to Stacey Abrams's Fair Fight organization.
Yes.
I'll be doing that again in December and again in January.
Yes, sir.
Because... we're teachers in Florida, and the paycheck isn't necessarily enough to be able to do that frequently.
Exactly. And I'll be harassing everyone I know in Georgia who's registered to vote to get out the vote and to make a plan and to vote early. And
Often.
Especially if
That's Chicago.
Especially if you're dead. Especially if you're dead.
Especially if you have multiple pets.
And let me rouse my mother and all of her dead pets. Let's get this. But no, seriously, if we had rigged the election...
Why would we let...
Yeah, exactly. Why would
House
Mitch
of Representatives...
McConnell have won?
Mitch McConnell would not be the Red Rover that we'd send right over. So
we wouldn't lose seats in the House of Representatives either.
Heck no. So no, if we're going to cheat, we're going to cheat right and we're going to cheat big.
Well, if we cheated, we treated like Democrats and actually lost. So that's kind of what we do sometimes.
If Democrats are going to cheat, they're going to cheat like Republicans.
Let's do it. Let's learn from them. All right, guys. It's been so much fun to have a remote She Shed with you. And that wraps up our back to school episode.
That was fun.